Hello, and welcome to the Strength to Be Human podcast with your host, author and playwright Mark Anthony Rossi. This show explores all forms of creativity for those searching for meaning and a place in the world. To err is human, but so is to love. Now, without further ado, here's your host.
Perhaps like twice monthly. It's called Guest House, using that word house like from the German, meaning house. It means a bar, and I lived there for a long time, so I know what that means. I like that kind of a setting in this kind of a show. This is episode 10, and this will be the first episode of Guest House. I have a co-host with me on the show, which also makes it very interesting and exciting. His name is John Patrick Robbins. He's a poet, editor, and also a fellow broadcaster. Right out of North Carolina. Welcome, John, and thank you for agreeing to do this with us.
Oh, thank you very much. It's very much an honor, Mark. Appreciate being on here.
It's going to be a great series of topics we're going to have on this. We are going to be doing this show in a less structured fashion than I would normally do an interview or my standalone show, because it allows us to go through a couple of topics, and we don't have to go long, but we can kind of get to the heart or the meat of it all. You know, and then go from there about the state of arts in general. I remember you mentioning a few things that you thought we should converse about, and I agree. One of the first things, and this is going to strike into the hearts of many of the artists that's going to listen to the show, is the ongoing debate about submission fees. Are they necessary? Are they useful? Are they a detriment? And let's talk about that.
Yeah, that's that. You know, it's the thing that I think we always hear about, especially as editors. And I think the big thing with submission fees now is just I don't know. It's a huge debate, actually, because there's a lot of people who will not submit to mags that have submission fees. And I mean, how do you view it, Mark?
I'm one of them as an artist before I even get to be an editor or a publisher or a broadcaster. I don't agree with any of them, and I don't comply. And if that means there's some markets I don't get into, so be it. But I am not going to give $3, $5, $10, whatever it is. And some awards are like $24 or something. No, I'm not doing any of that. I've been behind the scenes with many of publications and organizations, and I don't like what they do with the money. I think many of the decisions they make are unacceptable to me. And quite frankly, just from a business standpoint, if you do something that's expensive, why am I supposed to be paying for this? Why are you not doing something that, if not free, at least it's something that's it's so minimal that a person won't feel that they're put upon? They won't feel that what they're doing has a problem with the process. It's something that could be unethical. It's something that has a question. We shouldn't have those questions as artists when we go into a journal. And if we do, to me right there, that's an issue in itself. If I have that question, maybe you're not somebody I should be submitting to.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And I think it also brings up the other issue is there's quite a few that it makes you question if you're just paying to get in. And I mean, like, how is that you know, how much merit is that, you know, that you're just putting money up to get in? And then, of course, like you're saying, what do they do with this money? It's because, I mean, some of these magazines and things like that are running on different formats. And I can understand there is a lot of cost, but also some of them aren't, you know. I mean, I've always stand by that. I'll always keep everything I run with no submission fees whatsoever. And I just believe that it really does cause a big, big debate there. And I personally don't submit to places that charge submission fees. And because I think it does kind of make people question, well, did he put money into this just to get in there? And then, you know, that's kind of ridiculous. That's almost like, you know, a vanity press or something like that. You know, I don't really believe in it.
I totally object to it, and I can also object to it just like you, because we're also people who publish a journal and edit a journal. Mm-hmm. So we're not just some angry artist saying, I don't want to give you $5 because I don't trust you. No, it's not just mm-hmm. about that. how can we put together good products out there and good venues and good vehicles for people to get published, and we're not asking for any money? Why can't you do that? Makes no sense to me at all. It really doesn't. And some of the decisions that they're making, why am I supposed to be paying for that? I didn't get a vote in that. You know, if you're running a business, I get a vote. I either get to buy your product, or I don't like the service, I don't like the product, I don't buy it anymore. Then you don't have my vote anymore. It should be no different with a magazine. I did not ask you to go and sign up for Submittable. I don't know why you need it in the first place. You can't just organize the submissions that come in through email, sit down, find out some good stuff, let some folks know, put it together, go about your business. You really need to pay an organization to do this, and then I have to give you money because of your decision, a decision that I have no part in. That's the part of it that's seriously unfair. But then you have the other issue of, well, why do you need this in the first place? And you're telling us, well, this helps us do more and organize more and this and that. But one of the problems is I don't see any more things happening. If you're telling me I'm giving you $5 because Submittable is making your life easier, that's great. Then why are you not publishing more work? Why are you not publishing more of the kind of work I should see? Why should this price be this way? If you got all these, if you're telling me that 300 people submitted and you only picked like 18 poems, that's wonderful. But why can't you pick more? You're making all that money. Where is this going? Why isn't things better? Why aren't they more efficient then? Because you're telling me I need to pay this for this. So yeah, you can see even the story that they're saying, it doesn't jive. It makes no sense. And they have the classic stereotype, unfortunately, that as somebody who's artistic, they don't seem to understand even some of the basic principles of business. I'm not saying you need to run your magazine as a business, but if I'm viewing it from the outside with those principles, I have a lot of questions that you're not giving me any clear answers on.
Yeah, that's very true, and that's another thing I don't really understand. I've never seen a need for Submittable. I mean, I know you get absolutely a ton of submissions, and I mean, to me, if you don't know how to, if you have any other people working for you or anything like that, I don't know why you have to have Submittable. I don't personally like Submittable. It's not a knock against it. I just don't like it. I haven't had a lot of success with it either.
I've used it, and I've had success as an artist, but not as an editor. Mm-hmm. I won't sign up and pay for something or make somebody else pay for it. And I never use it if there's a fee involved. I skip that over. Mm-hmm. Next, go someplace else then. I don't even care about that market if they're asking me for money. That's what I do. Mm-hmm. That's actually what I encourage people to do. I think it's the right thing. Skip these people, because if they can't figure out how to do this in some kind of economical fashion or some kind of free fashion or some kind of fashion that actually resembles art, then as far as I'm concerned, they shouldn't be out there.
Yeah, I agree. It's I don't know. It's just one big kind of like scam, really. I mean, it's okay that, you know, that's what a lot of people are doing. There's a lot of places that turn to that now. And charging these fees. And then some crack me up because some of the a recent one, I mean, I'm not going to name the magazine, but is charging $10 no matter what you're sending. I mean, I usually send over one right at a time. And to me, $10 a reading fee is just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous because you could partially fill up your car with gas and go get something constructive done in your life. Instead, you're going to send it over to a magazine or organization or even an editor that's going to barely have any contact with you, not giving you an explanation what's going on. And then you have these two horrible dilemmas that you have to face. One is, if I get published by them, did I just buy myself in there? Or if I get rejected, are they just going to put their friends on there and just keep my money anyway? When you have to have questions like that, you need to move on then, because you're no longer in the realm of art. You just went into politics and business, and quite frankly, in an unethical shade of it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy, and I just think it completely muddies the water, and you're just, yeah, it just, there's no good that's going to come from it.
I just don't see any at all, and I've heard all the excuses for them already. You wouldn't even want to get an editor defensive. Talk to him about why he's charging a fee. You'll hear every excuse under the sun. I'm overworked. I got a big staff. I got server fees. I got a platform in for issues. I got subvertible this and that. These are all excuses, because in the end, you're a free person. You have made choices, and now I'm supposed to pay for your choices. How lovely. I'm moving on.
Yeah, it's completely. I mean, it's just weird when I hear people. I mean, most editors I deal with, of course, like yourself, I mean, we don't have anything to do with that. And so I don't really know too many people who do. I do know a few people now. I do know a few people who may have like a tip jar now, that it's not required. You don't have to. I mean, how do you feel about that?
I don't have a problem with that. And in fact, and I'm not trying to sound like a jerk here, but when I do use Submittable, I will skip over the people that want a fee. But anybody there that says you can still submit for free, but we have a tip jar as well, that's fine. If somebody wants to give to that, I don't have an issue with that at all. Guess what? I 100% never even give a tip. I'm not trying to say that that's a judgment against the person or they don't deserve any extra, you know, great job, but I can do that with an email. I don't need to give you money.
That's true. I don't have anything against anybody who does that. It's just, and of course, you know, there's plenty of places that this is thing, you know, no matter how we feel about, there's these people stay in business. But I just don't really see how you can look at it and say, well, oh, I really got in there. I mean, there's always going to put that stigma of whether you paid to get in there.
That's a horrible thing to have to face. It's like the equivalent artistically of like an affirmative action, where in the end you get a job, and then in the end people questioning, well, he got it because of this and because of his background, because of this and that. They never able to say you got it on the merits and you got it because of your qualifications. Even though that's probably true almost all of the time, you've now entered into a place where you're going to be tagged now forever with something. And that's what that does. And it, not only is it grossly unfair to the artist, it almost like it's built in that the other side, meaning the journal, they get to win in the end because they get to pick whoever they want, which is usually mostly their friends, but they get to keep all this money in the process. I don't see any accountability from any of these people. I've never seen one magazine say, hey, quarterly, I'm going to give you guys a public break on this is the money we pulled in, this is what we did with it, blah, blah, blah. We got some extra now because of a really good submission period. Let's just have another contest and do a little something, something for people. No, you don't ever hear any of that. It's crickets. That's all you get, crickets. Well, to me, crickets are not accountability.
No, it's just, you know, as we said, it's just, it's just not a good environment. I mean, it's just, I don't get it. I don't get really editors who want to do that kind of stuff. I don't, you know, it's not how I do business. I never will do business that way. And if I couldn't, I mean, to me, if I couldn't afford to run shop, then I wouldn't, you know, that's because really, like, again, no, you know, you don't want to put the burden.
You could do this free. You can do this just with a little extra work and a little extra training for yourself to get something done. I do it all the time. And remember, I have a monthly. I don't have a bi-monthly. I don't have a three times a year. I do 12 issues a year. I get 300 poems and fiction pieces every month. A bad month is probably like 150. Mm-hmm. I got three people that help me. So, again, I got complaints, and I hear all kinds of excuses and moaning from these publications that have 5, 10, 20 people on staff. Some of them get partially subsidized by an institution or a grant, and they're still zapping us out for money. So this is why I have to wonder about what's going on and what they're doing, because by when we buy into that, we're not really buying into art anymore. We're just buying into almost like a artistic cult or something.
Very much so. And that's, Yeah, that's another thing I'll never understand is how people can't. I mean, if you wanna, to me, there's, I mean, I'm not saying anything and naming names and things like that, but there's a lot of people that want the title of being an editor, but don't want to do the work. And, you know, if you put in the work, you get the results. And I just don't understand that. I've never been afraid of work, and that's why I got into this. And I mean, I don't understand how so many people have, they'll have all these people working underneath them, and still they're doing these kind of things. And it's just underhanded, and it's just weird to me. I don't get it.
I tell people in general, because I think the arts reflect life in many ways. So the basic philosophy has to simply be this, because this is how I view things. If it doesn't add up, it means there's something wrong. I mean, I tell my son this all day long when we have to study math together. If it's not adding up, guess what? The way you figured it out is wrong. Let's go back and figure out how to do that so we can get the right answer. Well, if you're not getting the answers that you should have, they should be apparent, they should be clear. More than anything else in the world, when you're asking for money, if you're not giving some clarification, that's shadiness right there. I don't even care if it turns out you're not shady, because you're putting that out there. Why shouldn't I receive that signal of, I don't know where this is going. I don't know what this makes me. I don't know if I'm a jerk now. I don't know if I'm being suckered. I don't know if this is a scam. Blah, blah, blah. If I have to make all of these questions and all of these accusations or all of these complaints, I'm no longer an artist. I'm just a pissed off consumer. That's not good. How the hell is that art?
It's not. That's the whole point of that, and that's to me the whole kind of BS behind these submission fees. And you know, I think more and more you see people who won't go there because there's plenty of great avenues like yours, and I run a lot of venues that are not playing that game either. So I don't think, you know, just because there's people out there, and I mean, a lot of the top placers are not doing that. So, you know, I think you can easily get your name out there, get your art out there, and not have to play that game as well. And I think the more that people don't, then maybe this will kind of, you know, blow over, but probably not, because there's always going to be people who want to move to the front of the line. If they want to buy their spot, that's okay, but don't kid yourself and say, "Wow, I did a great job," when I basically just bought my way to the front of the line.
And
And
that's
that's
going to be
just.
the perception, you know. It really is. And sometimes I come across writers that they have that kind of a bio where they have a lot of these folks on there, and it's not really a coincidence to me when they communicate with me, because it's always a surprise that they can actually communicate with the editor, because that's not their experience. Their experience is some stupid formless, soulless form letter, you know. But and when they have these weird questions, or they have these, you know, these crazy thoughts about things, it's obvious to me that they're not used to communication. They're not used to not having a fee. You know, there's not a month that goes by that I don't get an email saying, "I didn't see a PayPal button on your whole thing." I'm like, "Oh, I don't know. It doesn't exist. That'd probably be a good reason why. You're emailing me the stuff. We're not going through some other organization, and there's nothing on the site about something like that." I might occasionally put in that, you know, we got a book for sale from one of the writers, a little ad now and then in the magazine, just to sort of like prop somebody up, which is fine because I'm not getting anything from that. But other than that, and that's still kind of rare, I'll let it be in the links and all that. But there isn't anything like that, so they're usually surprised by that, and you know, they ask a lot of weird questions. Sometimes I could read into the questions of like, "Oh my God, am I going to now be treated fairly like everybody else?" Yes, I'm sorry you're frightened of fairness, but maybe you should stick with those places you're giving money to then, because I'm putting your poem against the dude from Bangladesh that just learned English and it's like his eighth language or something, and for some incredible reason, he's able to compete with you because, you know, he's sincere and he's trying his best, and he can put out some good work, and that's what it's supposed to all be about. The work, the writing, the craft, the art, putting your best foot forward, and not just doing all the silly stuff that seems to involve more about money than anything else.
Yeah, it's It's sad, and it's another thing is like you're saying, it's kind of, I don't know, it's when you don't have a working relationship with the editor and the writer, it's, you know, it goes hand in hand. You got to have these writers to keep these places open. And to me, when you want to have this barrier, this, it's making things even, it's with the cyber age and everything else, it's just so inhuman of an experience that I really can't stand it.
And it hurts. It hurts artists. And the reason why it hurts artists is because, and I'm not suggesting that editors are supposed to have 17-page commentary on every damn thing that gets sent to them. Okay, I'm realistic over here. Okay, even though I might smack some editors in the head now and then, I'm still realistic, and I know what it is to have that job and what to do with it. But what I can say is this. If your only connection to the artist is the money you're getting, well, then we have a serious problem. I mean, and I don't even mean this as a joke. I'll challenge you folks out there right now. If you don't take what we're saying seriously, try this out, okay? Go to a magazine that you know uses Submittable and wants money. Go try to send them something and don't put any money in there and see what happens. They usually have an email about how you can email them about that whole transaction. Give them an email. Hey, I'm trying to send these three poems over here, but it won't accept it. That might be the only time you're ever going to have a direct contact with the editor when they email you back and say, "Well, yeah, we are still waiting for the $3." That's the only time you're ever going to hear from that editor. That's when you know you're having a real problem, when your only contact with the editor is about money, not about your work, about who you are, about anything. Just, where's my money? Then you know you have a problem. I already tested this out, and I literally gave them an email back about, yeah, I just wanted to see what you had to say about that. Thank you for clarifying everything for me. Have a good day. So if you guys don't believe that, and you think we're all just harping on folks and being a bunch of grouchy old guys, well, give that a try. You're going to be shocked. Trust me. And then you'll be like, maybe they're right. Because I'm not trying to sell you something, and I'm not trying to make you think something. I'm telling you, these are the facts. This is what happens out there, and you can take what I'm saying and go run with it and find out. And you're not going to be pleased when you find out that editor Joe Schmo is only going to want to talk to you by email when he has your money. Hey, I got your money now. What's cool? Well, no, I haven't gotten your money. That's it. Nothing else. Everything else is going to be some soulless form letter, either accepting you or rejecting you. And when they're telling you up front, and a lot of times they do. We reject 99% of the stuff that's sent to us. Yeah, that sounds wonderful. Let me put my money into that. If I'm on Wall Street, John, and I got a guy saying, listen, man, I need you to give me $5,000 for an investment, but our track record is 99% times we're going to fail. Yeah, here's our money right away for that. Yeah, sure. Does that sound like it makes any sense? Does that sound like it's something you're going to have some hope in? It's like almost hopeless, but yeah, here's my money.
It's weird how, and they do, a lot of them do have that attitude when you read right in their guidelines and everything. It's kind of like, well, why am I even going to try if you just act like you're so elite, yet, you know, if I pay your money, I can get right in the door. I mean, it's, you know, I just, like I said, I just don't buy into it. And I think that's also, I don't know. I don't think that it's like you said, it's crossing a line into something else. And it's also, you know, I think it's a shame when you tack your name as an editor onto that, and you don't really, you don't seem to care about editing. All you do is care about, you know, I'm not going to always say ripping people off, but to a degree, yeah. I mean, because I've never once, you know, charged anybody for anything.
Yeah,
So
and it's not necessary, but you hear when they do make some public announcement about some of these things, and they do every so often, you can hear the defensiveness. You can also hear some of the horrible excuses. One time, I got a guy on the roll where he was doing some communicating, so I said, "Listen, man, why are you any different than one of these sleazy vanity publishers?" You know what he told me? In the most technical way, he said, "Well, the reason why we're not a vanity publication, but rather an academic journal, is because when you give us the money, there's no guarantee that you're going to be published. The vanity will guarantee you're going to be published." I'm just like, that's a wonderful slice of a distinction over here. Thank you very much for that. I feel like I'm totally overwhelmed with love and gratitude now.
Yeah, we're
That
a
was the guy's
snotty
official answer.
vanity journal.
We're going to take your money, and we still have no guarantee of it, so therefore, it's not a vanity. Okay, thank you. Maybe we need
Wow.
to come up with a new name for you, because maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're not a vanity
Yeah.
publication, but I swear to God, I don't think that you're an academic publication. When you're accepting money, you're no longer academic, in my opinion. You're now become some kind of a quasi-business.
Yeah. I mean, you're not, this is the thing. You're not, to me, it's a relationship between you and the writer. They're giving you something to run that you believe in, of course, because to me, if you don't believe in what you're running, then I don't know why you're doing it. But yeah, it's just strange when you get these kind of weird things going on. And yeah, I just cannot just disagree with that. With that mentality that it's okay to, you're not paying the writer, so why are they paying you? This is a, this is a trade, this is, and to me, that's a good thing. They give me their work, I run their work.
Right.
It's an
If it
agreement
works,
we
yeah,
built.
if it works with your taste and what you're trying to do
Yeah.
in that publication, yeah, that's what we're supposed to be all about. But I think the final analysis and probably the final word on something like this, and I'm speaking directly to you guys that are listening to this and gals that are listening to this, it really comes down to this. And I'm not a bumper sticker person, but in this issue, to me, it's extremely black and white. When they're asking you for money, you're being disrespected. Now it's your choice. Do you want to accept that disrespect, or you want to move on to someplace else that's not doing that? Because that's really what's happening. If you want to rationalize it, then fine. You could be one of those writers that cry all day long on the Facebook about nobody wants my work, and I'm out $300. Because that's what you'll be. And there's a whole bunch of those folks out there, and I wave at them on the Facebook and I'm like, you didn't read the article I just wrote on that? I mean, here we go. Check it out. No, I don't want to hear that. Okay, well, I guess you have $300 to spend then. That's great, but it's a waste. It's a waste of your time, folks. It's definitely a waste of your money. And quite frankly, without trying to be rude or rough about it, the more you do this and you're more encouraging these people, the more in many ways you're harming your own craft because you're not getting any real idea about what's going on with your work. And when you do get rejected, you're getting that whole double trouble scenario where it's like, I don't know why they've disrespected me. I don't know why they've rejected me. They give me no reason. They give me a stupid email about it. And now they have my money on top of that. So now you feel double injured. I'm not suggesting that writing is easy and it's a Disneyland of joy out there, even when the ones that don't accept money. But what I'm doing saying is, you shouldn't put yourself in this kind of position. It harms you psychologically, it harms you artistically. Quite frankly, for some people, it might even harm them financially. If you were to send a lot of stuff out, I mean, this money, it adds up. It's just not right. Stay away from it, please.
Definitely avoid it at all cost. And that's the thing. You work with these editors, the real, I mean, I shouldn't say that, but the in my opinion, the real editors that are not charging anything, and they're gonna have, you're gonna get a yes or no, but you're not out money. It's bad enough sending your work out and kind of sharing that, because it's a vulnerability thing. And then to have that on top of, oh, where's your fee? Because you're not good enough for me to talk to unless you pay me.
Yeah, that's literally what some of them are doing. And to me,
No.
it's beyond being professional or artistic. It just seems to be seedy and shady. There's no other way to put it. It does not seem like it's ethical conduct. And quite frankly, when we're putting ourselves out there, we're writing, we're trying to get out there, get things published, we're trying to make some connections and some contacts. This shouldn't be part of it at all. It ruins the whole process, and in many ways, it makes people question their own talent or their own work just because of that experience. And that in itself is a betrayal. And I don't really think we should allow that to continue. All we have to do is put this aside. I was talking to a girl the other day, and we had a little bit of a conversation about this, and She was a little defensive about it, which, you know, tells me right away she's probably participated in this and before. And then she was telling me some other stuff she was doing, and I said, listen, I'm not trying to sound jerk-like here, okay? But if you got no problem going out into the street and taking a day off to protest about something, or you got no problem boycotting a business because you don't like what they're doing, why don't you boycott these idiots and just don't send them the money? Go send it to another publication that you have a better chance at. Because if you're going to do all these other things in your personal life, maybe you might want to put some of those values in your writing life, because what's being done is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes people don't see the connection. They just like do this over here, and then they're like, oh, it's okay. Really? It's only $3. Yeah, it's only $3 on Wednesday of January, but it's not going to be only $3 when you're in October, and you already did this 600 times. How much money is that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You can make a house payment with that kind of money.
Yeah, it adds up really quick, and that's a thing. And just don't get caught in it. That would, you know, that would, I think we both say that. And yeah, just don't get caught in it. You don't have to, so don't do it. There's plenty of places. And that's another thing. Do the work yourself. Go look up the places. You know, you got a computer. You're on it. You know, don't hang out on Instagram, you know, liking 1,000 pictures of yourself. Sit there and go and put in the legwork and go find these magazines and these e-zines and journals that don't do this, that you can literally submit right to the editor. You know, that's the key. That's another thing, is it falls upon the artist to go there and the poet to go and find these places themselves, you know, because I don't go. I have used Submittable, and I have had places I've got published through it, but I largely go and just look up and find these places, you know, and that's the thing.
You could do that. Right now, and I think it's beyond the beta stage, but if you go to Submittable right now, folks, you can go up to the top left, and you'll see a place called Discover. When you hit that button, it allows you, through a filter, to check off, I only want places that are free. I only want papers that accept poetry and that are free. I only want places that accept free poetry and photography. Hit those buttons. It gives you all the things that are coming up. And every time you hit one of those things, you're never going to be bothered about money, because now they're only going to be the ones that use Submittable. They don't allow fees. So you could do this. You don't have to spend lots of time to do the discovery. Submittable helps you to do that, because even they understand, wow, people start getting turned off with this. Then folks are not going to submit anymore, and then our revenue is down. So they've been smart enough to include that. This way you can filter out that junk. And that's what you could do. This way you don't have to worry about, I don't have to stay away from Submittable forever. No, I'm never saying that here, and I'm not saying that in this show. Submittable is still part of the world out there for us. It's still useful. It's just that you want to screen those things out, and you can. They allow that to happen. So you could do that. There's plenty of magazines out there that use it, and they bite the bullet on it. Either they pay for it and they just live with it. Some of them might have advertising. Some of them have a grant. Some of them just actively sell other things and use the money for that. So there are plenty of options that magazines can do that don't require soaking you. So just stay away from those. Use it that way. And you're going to have a lot of fun, and you're going to have some success with that. Thank you, John, for even bringing that up, because it's really an excellent point to start this show off, because it's such a big issue. And I get all kinds of people that ask about this. Hopefully they come out a little more publicly, because some people, they're so afraid to have their name associated with saying I don't like this, because they think they're going to get blacklisted or something. You know?
Yeah. That's another thing in itself. Yeah, because you do kind of have to nowadays. I mean, it's strange, but you do kind of have to worry when you go against the grain, especially if you're starting out or anything like that. You know, so that's a whole nother issue there.
Yeah, it definitely is. So I tell people all the time, I understand that some things have to be behind the scenes in private. And I understand that sometimes folks have fear and apprehension about certain topics or certain things. And I got that. I don't have a problem with that. But I also remind them that when things are recurring in their lives, in their art, in society, that are constantly becoming an obstacle, then your silence becomes their license. There's a point where you got to go out and say this. This is not right. Not enough people are doing that. Not enough people are withdrawing from this. Because I guarantee you, if there were more, these magazines would reconsider this eventually, because they're like, wow, this is not coming, our revenue is not coming as much as we should do. Maybe we should lower it. Maybe we should do it only on certain instances. Maybe we should do it on only on contests or something. I don't know if you've noticed this, John, but there's some magazines now, what they're doing is they're saying, hey, this is our practice, but we'll have one or two issues a year where it's free. And then when I see that, mm-hmm. I'll enter those, and I'll go those when it's free. And I don't know what they publicly have to say about it because they haven't made comment on it, but I suspect that their submission rate's probably a lot higher on those free journal episodes versus the ones that are not.
Yeah.
But to me, that's an admission that they understand that there's some people that just don't like this.
Yeah, you do see that a lot, and I will send to places that they do when they drop their fees. But yeah, we'll court some mixed results, but
yeah,
you know that just goes without saying.
Well, thank you for bringing this out here, because I know we're going to get a lot of folks that are mm-hmm. interested in hearing about this, have a lot of agreement, a mm-hmm. lot of contention out there, but. That's what I remind you, folks. If you don't want to publicly put your name on something, then simply withdraw from it. Do your own little protest and boycott. Just don't send anymore. That's the message you'll send out there. It will have an effect if you do it, and not just, you know, say you do it, and then behind your scenes you're throwing the money at these people, which is what I suspect happens a little too often. Guys, stop withdrawing mm-hmm. from that and get out of that nonsense. The next issue, I know that you had mentioned, and I think it's a great topic to talk about because we hear this a lot, is the, and I don't believe that it's a one versus the other, and I don't even believe it's a debate, mm-hmm. but it is an open question now of the online journal versus the one that's being printed. Is there a difference? Mm-hmm. Is one better than the other? What is an advantage for me as an artist to do this versus that? So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was something I really did want to talk about because, you know, I kind of thought that myself with, I'd recently got, accepted and published in a print journal that I've wanted to be in for a while. So, that was a really big thing. But then, you know, even amongst friends, I've been talking about this for a while. It's like, you know, you want to reach the maximum amount of people. You know I do with my work. But you have to wonder what really does reach the maximum amount. I mean, how would you view that, Mark? I mean,
well, I tell people all the time, I tell them this. I say, listen, I made a choice as an editor to be online and have a digital format. I like the fact that it gives you a portable tool, that link that you can use for your resume to tell mm-hmm. people, hey, I got published over here. Check my workout, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Where it's a much harder thing to do when you have a print magazine and they just gave you a couple copies because it's not like you're going to send those copies to somebody else. What are you going to do? Scan it on your printer and just show them? Yeah, see, I got printed on this thing. All you could really do is say the credit and they don't really get the idea or even a sense of your work anymore. So having the online gives you, I think, more mobility and more flexibility, more options to help promote yourself versus the print. But this is not to say that something is wrong with print. It's been done that way for hundreds of years, so I certainly don't have mm-hmm. any prejudice against it. In fact, I find more people have a prejudice against the online. I've heard some writers mm-hmm. tell me, you know, I'm happy to be published here, Mark, but I don't view it the same as this other thing that's print. I think it's of lesser value. And I'm like, yeah, thanks mm-hmm. a lot. I enjoy publishing you so you can tell me that I'm worth half of somebody else. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
You hear that. Some people believe that. They publicly say it or they don't. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people that have that digital prejudice. And to me, that's dumb mm-hmm. in the modern age. And it, just as much as it's dumb to say that print is antique and antiquated, because it's not. It belongs where it belongs. I feel that they have an equal footing. Some magazines literally do both. They'll do a print edition and a digital edition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. Then there are some people. I mean, I know a ton of writers. We both do. I know a ton of writers and some that you'll contact. Well, I only put out so many things in digital form. And you think, I mean, if you want to reach that broad audience, you have to have, to me, both. I mean, I like to be in print And I majority of my stuff is all online because you want people to be able to just type your name in and boom, it's there and you can find it, you know, and that's where I believe the online journals are very important. And another thing for me is also the reason I go to so many of these, you know, venues. I can't, a lot of these other people who are, it seemed like a lot of the people who really love to do the spoken word thing are they prefer their stuff in print. I know a couple like that. And, you know, that's great, but I can't do that. So I use every way I can get my work out there, and somebody may run into it that doesn't know about it. I'm going to use it and I'm going to put it out in print. I'm going to put it out any way I can. So, I mean, to me, yeah, but
I would
you're always
encourage
going
people, and you're completely right, to try to do
to.
whatever avenue is possible. So I encourage people, whatever format's going to be, you should try to get your work out there. And I don't see anything wrong on saying that I like print more than digital, but I'm still going to contribute to digital magazines. There's nothing wrong with saying that. I don't mind that. I don't even think it's a prejudice or being snobby. But if you start making some actions that restrict yourself, you're not hurting me, and John is not being hurt either. You're hurting yourself. That's all you're doing, and I don't encourage that. I have a guy, he told me, he goes, I literally have a quota, Mark, and what I do is I do about like maybe 10 or 12 submissions in digital stuff, and then the rest of the time I'm trying to get into a print magazine, and that's how I do things. I'm not going to tell the guy that he's wrong. I'm not going to tell the guy that he's strange for doing this. I'm just going to tell him directly the truth. Hey, I hope you're considering me, but also consider the fact that you are reducing your chances of getting some of your work out there, reducing your audience, and some of your choices you make, they could have an impact on how you want to go forward. What do you do to network with people when you're not networking and now you have a book out? What are you supposed to do now? You know, I don't know if people realize this, but print magazines, one of their limitations is that they can't do a lot to help advertise for you when you have a book out, where a digital one can do it in real time. Some of these magazines are out 3, 4, 6 months. By then, the guy mentions you, and your book's already 6 months old. What is that supposed to do?
It doesn't, you know, that's another thing is like when I've had a couple things in print. And it's great. It's always a great accomplishment to get anything published. I still love the feeling. It never goes away.
It never does.
But another thing is, you know, not everybody's going to, let's be honest, you know, when everything is free, when you go with these links and everybody can check that out, not everybody's going to shell out the money. And they, you know, it's sad, but they're not going to shell out the money for whatever magazine, print magazine you're in. And read the you know your work. It's kind of only that whatever that group is, whatever their market is, and whoever their audience is. So it's really limiting yourself. But then again, it's a big honor to some of these places. I mean, I know I like I said I'm always honored to be published anywhere, and so I definitely am honored to get in print and online. It doesn't matter to me as long as people can find it. I'm happy with that.
Both of these forms have their pros and their cons. There's no doubt about that. So when someone says one is better than the other, they're being silly and they're being unfair. And in a strange twist, and you're going to find this pretty funny, that whole fee controversy feeds into some of the silly prejudices now. Because when someone tells me, Mark, I don't really like digital very much. I think it's a lesser form. I think the quality stinks, and I suspect that the editorship is not good. I'm like, oh, really? But you're going to send over to this person who you never hear from, just took your money. Somehow that's supposed to be better? What? Because they have some cardboard in between your writing and some institution's name is on it? Somehow that's going to be a higher quality than some guy who just put together a really cool digital publication? How are you supposed to be able to determine what is better or not? That's when you try to do that, that's when you start entering in the whole realm of prejudice and snobbery and just simply idiotic thinking. Because in one instance, you're telling me free is bad, but being robbed is good. No, you're being silly. Maybe you shouldn't get published in Aerial Chart then. Fine, because that's just too silly for me to even contemplate. I mean, it really is.
It is, and it's very ridiculous. But I've heard the same thing from writers. They're like, well, the quality of these journals, online journals, are not, they're not up to snuff. Or, but you look at them, well, any place can improve, and anybody can make an error. And there are some that are probably lesser. But then again, don't submit to them. You can't judge them all by one, because there's so many really nice, slick, very well run online journals that I'm a very big fan of. So it's just, I don't understand the prejudice. I don't understand the stigma. I mean, we live in modern times. We're not everything's online, so I don't, it's one is not, they're both equal, they're both good, they're both, so embrace them both, because I think it's good to have your
I
work out of
completely
both.
agree with you. And to segue into something else, which it has some really similar feelings and thoughts on, the whole ebook versus print book thing. That's always been a big thing going on. We literally have a crowd of people out there that say ebooks are worthless. I don't want to deal with ebooks. It's too difficult, blah, blah, blah. Even though it's about as simple as the tools you can get and an excellent way to get your work out there at an inexpensive price. Yet you got some folks saying that, no, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to be published that way. I don't mind waiting 17 years for an agent who's going to screw me over with a publisher that's probably going to go under. So in 20 years, I get a print book and it's worth it. All right, fine. If that's how you want to go about things, you are free to do so. No one's telling you you're not. But if you actually want to get something credible out there, and try to get it out there before your Social Security check hits your house, you might want to think about some electronic things now and then, okay? I don't think the ebook is any better than the print book. What I'm saying is that it's a viable and valid option. Look into it.
And I'm really glad you mentioned that, because and I the thing that cracks me up with the ebook, and I know a lot of people kind of, when I decided and I did mine, one of my, to me, my best efforts I've done is smoking at the gas pumps once, it's, of course, under Soma. And the thing about that is, I have a another book out, and I had a friend who's in Australia who could not, because I think there's some kind of issue with Amazon. They couldn't purchase it through there.
Yeah, there's been an issue
And
with
the
that lately.
ebook, yeah, the ebook was available. So she got the ebook. She got a very polished, what I consider, I'm not saying one is better than the other. Once again, I stand by my work. But I mean, I really am a fan of that. That's a very fast book, and I really love doing that book. And it's just, once again, it's, I don't understand this weird stigma. It's like everybody's online, but now people want to be snotty or snobbish, and say, well, it's only, I only believe in print books when you're online all the time. How many people are walking around with a book now? They're looking at their cell phone almost all the
I
time.
hear that so
It's
much that I try not to
ridiculous.
get upset. I had one guy, he told me the other day, he goes, Mark, I've done some writing, but I don't really consider myself a published author. I'm like, okay, all right. And then I'm looking over this guy's bio. He has like six ebooks out. And I'm like, I thought you said you wasn't a published author. You got six books out here. Well, they don't really count. Yeah, I'm saying, listen, man, I'm not trying to be a jerk here, and I'm not your father, and I'm not your artistic director, okay? But if you're discounting six books you put out that contain quite possibly over 300 of your poems, which is a good part of the probably the writing that you've been doing, what am I supposed to do with you? You're already telling me all this stuff makes no difference at all, but you did it anyway. If just on the artistic level alone, I'm like wondering, but then on a personal level, I'm like, why are you doing this then? And why do you think this discounts? Why you don't think you're a published writer? Oh, I haven't hit the big time yet. I go, what is the big time? Do you not realize that the publishing world is not the 1950s over here, okay? If Hemingway was around today, he would have been rejected. He probably would have committed suicide that much sooner, because he would have been rejected to everybody. Nobody would have done anything for the guy, because this is not the same world anymore. The democratization of publishing is now here, and it's never going back to the old way. Everybody has a chance to do something.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, and I tell these to people all the time, they probably think I'm nuts, and that's fine. But I'm like, why not get your work out in that way? It's a perfect portfolio of what you're doing. It's a great vehicle to try to sell a little bit of something. It's a good way for you to have your material out there. And many ways, it could be a calling card that maybe another publisher can possibly do something in print, knowing that you've built a network. You got some stuff out there. You got some experience, blah, blah, blah. Why not use it that way? Other people do all the time. You know how many people from the ebook world go into the print world? It happens a lot. And it's not like it doesn't happen. So why not view it that way instead of trying to somehow discount all the stuff you're doing? Because I tell people all the time, not just on the personal level, but on the writing level, you got a world out there that's not always going to be accommodating to you. They're not always going to be friendly to you. They might even oppose you on a regular basis. Why help them do that? Why? It makes no sense to me on any level in my life and in my heart and in my mind and in my soul. You're going to help the world throw you under the bus. You're going to help the world say you're not a writer. Yeah. You're going to help the world say you do not count. Part of writing is standing up, putting your hand up and saying, hey, man, I count. If you want to say you don't count, but you're writing saying you do count, well, you got a message problem going over there. You better figure it out because as an editor, I'm not here to be your sole custodian. I'm not here to be your life advisor. I'm the editor. But what I'm saying to you right now on this show is if you want to count, you got to figure out ways to get your stuff out there. That means dropping your own dumb prejudices. Throw those out the window. Okay? Because the world, they're already going to have 100 excuses against you. Why give them 101? Why?
It's strange, and I just don't get it, you know. And that's the problem, though, is that people do have this weird – I think a lot of people get into writing that they have a weird romantic notion. It's not going to be the way it used to be. It's completely different. It's like you said about Hemingway and everything. It's the truth. But it's no – you're no less a viable writer if you have ebooks out or you have whatever. I mean, you can go and have an ebook out and go I mean, I'm not doing this because I'm just, it's not a plug, but just when you deal with the press, like you deal with Soma Publishing and you know, you're going to have a grade A top product or you can go with someplace, another place that maybe they're print, but then they're not even paying attention to what they're doing when they're formatting these things. You know, I mean, it's just, it's not one's necessarily better than the other, but just use every platform you can. And it's just, and another thing is the insecurities of the writers now. It's bad enough with this world, like you're saying, you have to be able to believe in yourself because it's all about, you have to be you're your own PR person. You know, you have to push your work. You're the marketer now. And there's a lot of ways to market your work. There's good and bad. I mean, you know, there was a setback, of course, when you were mailing stuff in. And now you can get with electronic submissions, because I remember sending in, you know, when you did have to send in and I'm not going to say I've never had to send money along to try to get in a place. When you start out, you don't know. There's no roadmap to how to do this. You live and learn. It's the best. Experience and hard work will teach you.
Well, I want to share this story with you and with the audience. And this is not to bash any traditional publishing or print at all. Just an experience from somebody I know that when they outlined it to me, I was beyond shocked. But it's a perfect example of things that can happen out there. What a big name place, by the way. I'm not going to tell you the names of the author of the book or even the publisher. But I'm telling you, big name. Doesn't really matter because the world has changed so much that folks, they don't even understand this anymore. They think that this is the world of their parents. No, this is a new world. So a friend of mine, he didn't want to go the electronic path and he didn't even want to go the self-published path. He goes, you know, I got an agent and I was lucky and they found me a package deal. So I'm like, all right, cool. So he tells me all about this, and this story is just as much horrifying as it would be artistically realistic and valuable. They give him, okay, $200,000 up front for a three-book deal based on a spy novel series he has. And he already wrote the first one. He just didn't write the other two yet, okay? He had that first book out there to, you know, to show them, all right? So $200,000, all right? And they didn't even spare it out. They said, here's your $200,000 right now. 10% off for the agent. That's $20,000. He's out. He's got $180,000. He still has to pay taxes on this, by the way. Capital gains as well. Mm-hmm. Right? So 40% of that, blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool. So he's reading the fine print, and he doesn't care because to me, and I know to him, he was just like, wow, I'm in here now. I could do my thing. He didn't notice that, and this is common now with all the publishers, you have to do your own marketing. You have to get to your own marketing places whenever the publisher sets it up, which means that if you live in New Jersey and they're like, Mr. Smith, I'm just using that name, you know, for him. We got three gigs set up for you in three different bookstores and three different malls in Chicago. Okay, yeah, it's great. We're going to promote my book. They didn't mention to the fact that they gave you all that money up front because you got to fly your butt over there yourself on your own dime. Well, not on your dime, actually, the money they gave you. So you're now spending the money that they just gave you to go promote your book because they won't pay for it. They'll pay up for the PR person to get the thing set up, and then you just better show up because you have a contract, and if you don't, they're going to sue you. You'll never get published again anywhere. So he has to do that. Mm-hmm. Okay, whatever. Well, guess what? Over the course of a year, he's flying all over the place, taking trains, Jefferson driving, depending where it's at. Going to all the TV spots he did. He did some radio spots, signing spots, all that kind of stuff over there. Now, don't forget, as he's doing all this, he still has a family, still has a kid. He's still trying to figure out how he's going to write his second and third book because he has a two-year contract. And it says in 2 years, you better deliver three books to us because otherwise we want our money back. You know, the money you're spending for the books that we just published. Yeah. Okay? Now, while he's doing this, by the way, okay, he's not even getting 10% royalty. They're giving him 7% royalty on these books, okay? All right, 7%, all right? So his marriage is almost in the toilet bowl after the first year because he's out on the road more than he's home, okay? He told me in the first year he must have spent just between hotel, lodging, and travel about $30,000 just doing that, okay?
Yeah.
He doesn't even have a notion yet on the outline of the second book, and they're already knocking on your door. Hey, man, that book sold pretty good. We're happy with the numbers. Can you give us the outline so we can get ready for the second book? And he's like, oh, crap, I just spent a year of my life and almost told my personal life into the garbage over here. I don't even have a notion yet. Well, you better hurry the hell up because in 60 days we need to see a plan. So he's over there doing all that. So it was 2 years of hell, okay, between the money they gave him, all right, and the royalties that he made from this, he calculated that that publisher probably made over $2.5 million from his books. Okay, after his royalties came in, and after, of course, all his expenses and everything, he told me that there was a good chance that the manager of the Burger King in his neighborhood probably made more money in him annually than he did. Yeah, he said he was making less than $40,000 a year after all that stuff that was gone. Meanwhile, his health is in jeopardy. He's exhausted. He's trying to figure out how to write these books in quality. He's got a wife that wants to walk out. His son is like, is that daddy? Because it doesn't look like the photograph I've been using all year. I mean, this is how bad things have gotten for this poor guy. That was his experience. Not with some Johnny-come-lately agent or publisher. I'm talking about the big names. That's what they gave him. They made plenty of money off of him, more than 10 times of what they gave him in the end. He told me that if you collectively put everything together with the royalties that are still coming in, he said maybe he made $100,000 after everything is said and done. Almost destroying his life. He didn't renew his contract with them, by the way. He just said, I'm just going to use this now as a educational experience, a resume item to get the agent I want, to get the kind of deal that I want, to get the publisher that's not going to run me into the ground. He goes, I don't mind making some of these big events. I don't even mind paying for them. But you're going to have me in every Tom, Dick, and Harry bookstore and mall and everything else, and I got to put all this because I got a contract to my head, which I sound like a gun to your head pretty much. That's what it is. That was his experience.
Yeah.
So I'm telling folks right now, you might get a deal one day. You need to look at that carefully. You need to look at what you're going to be putting out, what it's going to do to your life, you no longer have the kind of life that you're going to have that people had in the past. If you actually do finally get a deal from somebody, you're going to be beyond shocked on how much work you have to do to promote the book and how much they're not going to do. All his company did was paid some girl to make a couple phone calls and emails to set up those visitations, and he's just supposed to be there mm-hmm. and do his thing. And if anything, when they showed up, they were just there to monitor him to make sure he was keeping part of his contract, making sure there was some books going out the door. That was all they were doing. They had the largesse, and they had the contacts to get you on a radio or big radio or get you on a big mm-hmm. TV show. They had that. But guess what? You still got to get there. Nobody's paying you for that. And even when he got paid to be on the show, we're talking, I don't know if people realize this, but if you're on a show and if you're hawking some of your stuff, oftentimes they give you a little honorarium. We're talking about like $500. We're not talking about lots of money. He said what they've given him mm-hmm. didn't even cover the plane to get there.
Yeah.
So you're doing a big disservice to yourself when you're understanding that this is a business. When you get to these bigger places, and you need to have a marketing plan, you need to have a business plan, mm-hmm. and you need to ask those kind of questions about what is their deal going to do to my life, because there is no more of this fantasy of you're going to send a book in, they're going to love it, they'll do some editing, they'll send it out there through the networks, and you just sit home and these checks come in.
Mm-hmm.
That's never, ever going to happen again, and never. It's just not going to happen again. Unless you're writing Harry Potter or something, or James Bond, you're not something yeah. has a household name. They could probably do that. They don't have to worry about that. But everybody else, you know, and don't forget, yeah. this guy is considered a successful author. He tells me by the end of the day, he barely got everything done in that process, exhausted out of his mind, had to rebuild his life and his marriage. And he goes, you know, I feel in many ways like a failure. I don't feel like I'm even a writer because he goes, it should not be this difficult. But guess what? They walked away with almost $3 million.
Jeez,
giving this guy chump change, convincing him this is some great stuff. 200 G's mm-hmm. sounds like a lot of money if you don't have to spend mm-hmm. it on all of their nonsense. Then maybe it is some money. Mm-hmm. But it ain't when you have to do all this other stuff. Cars and gas and lodging and buses and, you know?
Yeah. Well, that goes the case with most big businesses. A big, huge corporation is not really in the business of handing out money. They're in the business of making money. And that's the problem that people don't get. It's like from the outside looking in, they always think the grass is greener on the other side, and it's really not.
You got to find out what they want and what they're going to be asking from you.
Yeah.
I know another writer, he told me, and he rejected it when he found out right away, but he says, let me get this straight here. Not only do I have to market myself and spend my money to go to these places, I also have to give you back some of my royalties because you hired a publicist in my name and now you want me to pay for them because you won't even pay for them? He's like, no, heck, mm-hmm. heck with that. So literally that in cases, sometimes like you got to pay the publicist too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow, when are you supposed to make any money on a deal like that? It sounds all wonderful and exciting and sexy and romantic until you start looking at the details. So what he wind up doing later on is he found what they call that mid-level listing publisher that doesn't require all that nonsense. I mean, don't get me wrong. You mm-hmm. still have to do your own marketing. You're never going to get away from mm-hmm. that. And I think when we have another show in the near future, we'll probably talk a little bit about marketing and what the requirements are and how important that is and how a lot of writers are just not really prepared for that. But that's not going to go away either. But that whole pain to get to someplace, that nonsense, you could stop right away. You just make the kind of deal that you want to make. Mm-hmm. Or go walk away then. But some writers, they feel they spent years trying to get into that door. And when it opens, they almost do anything that they say. But that's a bad idea. And you can mm-hmm. see from that experience from this poor guy, I mean, he ran himself ragged. You know, I mean, and no book.
Yeah.
And I love books. I'm a writer. But no book is worth losing your son or losing your wife over. It's simply not.
Yeah. And that's a case on every level. I used to always think, I mean, I'm not going to go into all the details, but I used to always think, you know, you will pretty much do anything to get a book out. I had a lot of drama with getting the first one I did out. you know, in losing the original draft, and it took like 7 years to get done. I mean, but, you know, and then I was very kind of, once again, if you don't, you have to do, you should really do a lot of research before you decide to just send your work out. And then the first person that says, hey, I'll publish this, you agree. Because when you sign that, any agreement is, you know, when you're contractually bound, you're, you know, and you don't know what you're doing, there's a lot of people that will take advantage of you.
Yeah. You know, and this is the funny thing about that situation I'm telling you about. Even though that mm-hmm. situation became one that he got taken advantage of, to the corporation mm-hmm. he's dealing with, they're not looking at it that way, because that's the mm-hmm. standard way that they do business. They gave the money, they mm-hmm. have a contract, they feel that they've done their part. You know, and then from their mm-hmm. perspective, that's right. You have to make the choices of whether you think this is right or not. But from their point, hey, that's how we do things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not like they're sitting around and this is evil. This is just standard business for them. And, you know, that's the thing. And like I said, I mean, when and you'll find that on every level. I mean, you know, and then I fell for that. And that's the problem. A lot of times when writers, you know, I mean, everybody who wants to be a writer, there is that kind of preconceived notion. It's like when people say, when you say, well, I'm a published writer, and then they automatically want to think successful writers, and they think people that, you know, the one in the million person that, you know, wrote the Harry Potter book once, you know, I find, you know, kind of ridiculous, but that's the problem. That people, they always think the grass is greener on the other side, and sometimes writers, unfortunately, do too. And once you learn you're there, it's a business, and you've got to be, you know, you've got to be your own business manager. And it's a lot of, you have to hold a lot of titles to be good at this. And that's the thing.
You do. And as we have more of these shows, we're going to talk more about that mm-hmm. to help educate the writer, share some of our own stories and our own, you know, obstacles, and sometimes in our own successes, because a lot of folks have interests about that. What's up with this marketing? What's up with self-publishing? What's up with ebooks? What's up with trying to get an agent? And when do I say no? When do I say yes? How long should I wait? These are all very valid questions that people have. I mentioned in the show some time ago that my father used to make the crack that, you know, God makes 10 violin players because he knows only one's going to really go out there and actually play in the end. Well, this is a lot of that is true with writers too, and I don't want to be crass, and God knows I'm not negative towards writers, but I'm thinking the number for writers is probably higher. It's probably like 50 or 100, because I hear sometimes the way people operate, and I hear sometimes the way people think and they act, and that's never going to allow them to get to where they want to go, because if they're not being realistic, if they don't have a plan of action, you know, if they're not really willing to do the work. And the work now, folks, is not just the work of writing. You have to now go beyond that. I had a guy tell me the other day. Mm-hmm. He goes, Mark, I want to get an agent, man, and I want to get into one of these big print presses, and I you know, but I just, it's just so much work. And I'm like, I don't understand what you're telling me here. You told me it took a year and a half to write this novel. You even hired somebody professionally to help you, you know, get some of the editing done on it. But you're not going to spend 2-3 weeks to figure out who the hell is the best place to send us to? What is that saying about you? Where are you coming from? I don't understand it. A year and a half doing this, but you can't spend a couple weeks going through a big manual, a big book of people. I think this agent will be cool. This one will. I think we should try this or this. Or that. You can't do that? You're going to tell me that's that boring? It's vital. It's absolutely necessary. Because if you don't start doing that, if you do find somebody that cares about your work, you know, they're going to get you in some crappy contract, and then you're stuck, okay? And these contracts, even though they have words on it, they have the force of the law behind them. They're not just a mm-hmm. paper with words that you just wrote. You screw with that and you're done. Yeah. You're done. You're giving back money and you're blacklisted and you could be in trouble. You could go to jail. That's not a joke. This is a corporation you're dealing with. They're not there to make you a great writer. They're there for you to be a great income earner for them and hopefully for yourself. If you can come up to the right terms, you can make it happen, but you have to also understand that if you don't do that kind of work, the extra work that's necessary now as a writer, that thing's just going to sit around, and that's unfortunate. But that's where a lot of writers are going to be if they don't take some of these other things seriously. What's an agent? What's marketing? What can I do? Should I try this? Should I try that? I've known some people, they did a simultaneously attack. What they did was they did the novel, they self-produced it, self-published it, put it out there, get some people to read it, while they're actually sending it over to the other publishers. Hey, I did this, I did that. Because they know that if they get another deal, they could pull that out of the ebook and go over to the deal, understanding that it's becoming like a calling card for them, or like a resume or something. There's nothing wrong with doing that. That's smart. Maybe not everybody wants to do that. And I'm not suggesting everybody does that. But that is one way of all kinds of different ways that you can do things if you care about getting this to the next level. But you can't just sit there, do all this work on writing it, and then you have done nothing to get it out to the public. Because in the end, truly, you've wasted your time then.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. And the key to that is that what people don't get, this is a job. You have to treat it like a job. And if you treat it like a job, you're going to get results. And if it's not just all about art, there is a total marketing side to it. There's so much you have to know. You have to research, learn. I mean, you got to have a vast array. You don't go to a construction job with just a hammer. You got to have every tool in the belt, and you're going to have to learn these things because no one's going to do it for you. And that's what separates, hobbyists, between what I consider real writers and true writers who just really kind of, they work. It's a job.
That's the truth. I mean, if you knew, and I mentioned it in one of the other shows, and I don't mind mentioning it again, so, folks are catching this show. If you guys had any idea at all how some of those big writers in the past got themselves published, I mean, you'd be not only enormously shocked, you might even look at them in a different way. But you'll find out people like Jack London and people like Hemingway, some of the great names that we learned in school that are out there in the hall of fame of writing, you find out that a lot of them couldn't spell correctly, had some crappy writing styles. But what happened back then was if you had enough of a story and things were so inexpensive to put out there, the publisher will say, well, hell, I won't give you the greatest royalty in the world right now because I'm going to have an editor and he's going to help reshape this thing. You'll be shocked at how many of these guys, if it wasn't for their editors and they didn't have that kind of environment, they wouldn't even have books out. I mean, I've read entire interviews where people were literally mentioning how horrible of writing they were. The stories were great, but the writing itself needed all kinds of help. Well, guess what? Back in those days, the publishers, they were like everything. I mean, they'd actually get you the press. They help you shape the book up. Some of them actually put aside your dalliances or your alcoholism so that you can look good in the public so they can sell the book. I mean, they were a one-stop shop for everything. That stuff doesn't exist anymore. But this is what those folks were able to do. So it doesn't mean that I don't have any respect for these writers. It doesn't mean I don't salute what they did. God bless them for being out there. But they were catered to, and they were babied a lot more than any of us will ever, ever see ever again. So let's keep that in mind when we're talking about that. You now have to do everything yourself. I'm sorry to say that's what it is. And the ones that do not, they're going to have the most problems. They might not even succeed. Some of them get mad. I know a writer that stinks right now, but he gets his stuff out there because he's a hell of a marketer. And he's all over the place doing that. He's not writing anything that's Jack London. And Bobby never will. He doesn't care because his whole point is, if I spent the time to do this, now I'm going to go out there and get it sold. And I'm going to do well with this. And this is what I want to do. Well, guess what? That's the right approach to have. You don't have to be an artist.
Yeah.
You could just be a writer with like a self-help book on how to get better muscles or, how to get a slimmer figure or how to make your garden really cool or, how to build, toy planes or something. Whatever. Doesn't have to be art.
Yeah.
But whatever you're doing, if you don't have a plan afterwards on how to get into people's hands, you just wasted a lot of time and you're just going to be looking at the wall and you could just wind up going to be in the post office or something because that's really what's going to happen to you over there. If you don't take it that seriously, that's how it is these days. Well, John, I want to thank you very much for showing up for all this, this exciting and first episode. I know that we got a lot of stuff out here that people talk about privately. Sometimes they talk about it on the internet or publicly. And these are things that people mm-hmm. want to know about. They want to know that people are talking about these things and not just sharing it amongst a few friends or just amongst themselves. And that's what I want the show to be about, to talk about some of these issues that we all encounter, that we all face as writers, editors, publishers, etc. Maybe we can get some grains of nuggets of wisdom out there, or maybe we can help somebody in the right direction, or maybe they just need that validation. Damn, somebody feels like I do. Let me go pick up myself from yesterday and go forward, because yesterday I felt like I wanted to stop, and now today these guys are saying, no, I should continue. Because that's always going to be for me, about continuing and telling everybody to continue. But you can't continue, folks, without having some kind of a plan, without having some kind of realistic expectation. I know there's a big Hallmark reading industry out there about dream this and dream that. Well, let me tell you something. When you're putting a year and a half into something for a novel, that's not a dream anymore. That's a job. That's mm-hmm. a lot of work. That's sacrificing your life. That's all kinds of things you had to do. Stay up late, skip this date, do this, do that, blah, blah, blah. So does that feel like a dream to you anymore? I'm not saying it's a nightmare, but it darn isn't yeah. in a dream, you know. And maybe the dream is getting published one day, and that's all fine too. But you have to do the steps that are going to be necessary. Otherwise, guess what, folks? It's going to remain a dream. It won't become a reality. Because remember, you're trying to get to the point of reality. So dream for a moment, but you have to do the rest of the work to get to the reality. Please keep that in mind over there. I'm not trying to shatter anybody's faith or hope or anything like that, because I'm all for that. But if we're going to be honest with people and we're going to talk straight, that's what we need to remind them about. Don't dream too much, please. You still got to go out there and do something. Please go do it, and we'll do what we can to help you.
Yeah, exactly. Couldn't agree more.
Well, I pretty appreciate you having on, John. Hopefully you'll continue to be available as we move forward with this type of format and show. I think it'll be very educational, very helpful, hopefully humorous at times too, because, you know, we get to have a laugh yeah. at something. Try not to be at people's expenses, but still, you have a laugh as well, and it's yeah. supposed to be able to shoot the breeze and everything, and that's what I wanted to do here. So I feel we have definitely accomplished that today, and I really enjoyed having you on here. You're perfect for these kind of things, because you've gone through it all already, and you're still going through it like we all are. You know, I was telling my friend the other day, I said, don't forget, as much as writing can be fun and as much as creativity can be positive, we all mm-hmm. kind of go through our own little battles and our own little private hells to get to someplace. So we're all dealing with that, and why not try to deal with that more together on a show like this, you know, rather than just complaining on the internet? Why not just try to open up a little bit more, make it a little lesser for us to have such a struggle, so that we can move forward? So why not put a little bit more light in people's lives? And I'm not hoping that's exactly what this is going to do, because that's certainly my intention and my goal. All right, John, thank you very much. Yeah. and God bless.
God bless you as well, and thank you very much for the opportunity. Really had a great time, Mark.
You take care.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening. Please follow the show and visit our blog at strengthtobehuman.blogspot.com.